Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast monthly album roundup for the month of January 2018. I'm your host, Robert, and I'm not actually here right now. I've been replaced by a professional hologram. And with me, I have...
I'm Alex, and why is my mail always late?
And...
I'm working. Who's throwing that just break?
I don't know. I am never qualified to answer any of Mark's questions on this podcast.
I don't think anybody and is.
It just raises more questions. I'm going to assume it's aliens. The answer to all of Mark's questions is aliens.
Let us stare not into the abyss. Lest we get sucked in ourselves.
And you know, aliens is probably why Alex's mail is late.
No, that's just because my mail people are fucking lazy.
Well, really, what's the difference? Well, I mean, think about it. If aliens were really that advanced, they would have come talk to us already, goddammit.
Have you seen our species lately?
Yeah, I suppose that's true. I mean, our only big attempt at space travel recently is some fucking billionaire fucknuts launching his car into space as a vanity project. You know, goddammit, why can't we have any other scientific entrepreneurs that aren't fucking Elon Musk? It's like... Is it too late to make a trade? Like, can we do, like, an NBA draft or something? For, like, new scientific money people that aren't douchebags? Whatever, I'm venting. But, yeah, time to do our first album roundup of the year. You know, January, it's considered a dumping ground for a lot of media, but sometimes you could be surprised. I mean, obviously not in the movie sense, because at this point you're trying to catch up with all the Oscar filler.
Pretty much.
But I mean, it's possible for cool stuff to come out in media in January. I mean, hell, last year, January, the game of the year, Resident Evil 7, came out. I will fight you if you say otherwise.
There are always a couple of exceptions to the rule of, fuck you, it's January.
Yeah, we even have a couple here, except for at the very end, where we have one that's kind of proof of the rule.
Yeah.
We'll get to that when we get to it. But first, I want to do a quick rundown of some of the bigger releases that came out this past month. So, usually I got my categories here. So, in the realm of pop and electronic, the newest album from the project Toon Yards with I Can Feel You Creep Into My Private Life, the delayed release from Fall Out Boy titled Mania, we had Camilla, the self-titled debut album of former Fifth Harmony member Camila Cabello, Cuba represent. Woo! And, of course, the latest solo project from Chromatics front person Johnny Jewel with Digital Rain. Now, into the realm of just regular standard-ass rock music, we had a new album from They Might Be Giants with I Like Fun. Jeff Rosenstock surprise dropped the first big album of the year at the very beginning of the year with Post-something. It's literally just like Post-dash stylized with Post-what? Post-rock, post-metal, post-Malone, post-office.
Post-sauce.
Sure, that. The latest album from indie rocker Ty Segall with Freedom's Goblin. A new album from guitar shred master Joe Satriani with What Happens Next. And Tonight Alive with Underworld. Or was it Underworld? I don't fucking care. In the realm of metal... or I guess heavier rock, if these first two things are to be believed. Black Veil Brides with the album Veil, and Of Mice and Men with Defy. Apparently there was a new album from Avatar in January, titled Avatar Country. Don't know how I missed that. A new album from long-running metal act Anvil with Pounding the Pavement. Of course, we got a new record from Corrosion of Conformity with No Cross, No Crown. The latest... project from Mr. Philip Anselmo, Philip H. Anselmo and the Illegals, with their second full-length album, Choosing Mental Illness as a Virtue. Oh, boy. Keep it classy, pals.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, hey. The latest album from black metal icons Watain with Trident Wolf Eclipse. The album That Profound Lore Would Not Stop Promoting on my Facebook feed, Portal, with their new album Ion. Of course, the much-awaited return of Orphan Land with Unsung Prophets and Dead Messiahs. The final album from Christian metalcore act Sleeping Giant with I Am. The newest record from Tribulation with Down Below. And, of course, Machine Head came back with Catharsis. And then just a few hip-hop and rap releases to round things out here. We had the debut album from rapper Mexo Cream with Pumpkin. A new album from the master of grills, Paul Wall, with Bounce Backs Over Setbacks. Yeah, did you know he was still around? I didn't know he was still around.
I didn't know that either. I forgot about him for some time now.
I remember him getting his ass kicked on that Celebrity Deathmatch revival, and that is it. Of course, there was the newest album from rapper Cupcake with E4Eyes, and of course, Migos with Culture 2. Let's keep this streak of no Migos memes going, people. I am so happy we don't have crappy memes coming from them. So, there's one album here, maybe you could tell by the snarling, that we're going to talk about, like, collectively as a group. But first, of course, each of us are going to run through our personal highlights for the month. So, as always, Alex will get us, you know, warmed up here. So, take it away.
Okay, time to warm up, everybody. I will start with an album that kind of took me by surprise. Because sometimes I'll just scroll through Apple Music, look through the metal category, and try and see, you know, what the big new releases are for the month or the week. And my eye caught the new album from Tribulation Down Below. I can't really say much about them because, well, A, it's the first I've heard of them, and B, their Wikipedia page is very empty.
How empty are we talking here?
There is just a synopsis, their discography, their members, and that's it.
Damn, that's straight up skeletal.
Only one album of theirs has an actual page on Wikipedia, and that was their last album.
Well, damn.
Yeah, so I can't say a whole lot about these guys. I'll have to come back to them at another point. But this album is definitely going to be a sleeper pick in the end-of-year lists. It is a very solid blend of more contemporary, doomish, and even psychedelic rock and metal with supremely gothic vocals. Think Ghost, but harder.
Ooh, that sounds appealing.
Yeah, it's very straightforward. It never gets too crazy. It has a very solid tempo throughout. It's very, I guess you could say mid-tempo, but it has enough of a doomish, heavy tone that it does sound a bit menacing, especially with the gothic vocals going on here. It sounds fucking scary, and I like it. Although I will say some of the reviews I read on this called it as vampire metal, which, no, that's fundamentally wrong.
Ew.
Yep, okay. That's fundamentally wrong. I don't even think there are vampires in Sweden. But anyway, it's a good album, worth checking out. It's going to fly under a lot of radar, so listen to it. It's good.
I'll keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm. Next up, something that came a little bit out of nowhere. Linkin Park MC's Mike Shinoda put out an EP, just sort of out of nowhere, an EP called Post-Traumatic, which you can probably tell by that title what it's about.
Actually, I'm completely lost here.
Well, it's a 3-track EP of pretty much Mike Shinoda's thoughts and mindset regarding, you know, the tragic passing of Chester Bennington, his bandmate in Linkin Park. This EP is definitely what grief sounds like. It's filled with sorrow and anger and frustration and even depression. Trust me, I would know about that. The first track of this EP, Place to Start, it's very somber and low tempo, and it ends with voicemail recordings from Mike's phone of friends offering condolences and well wishes over, The second track, Over Again, talks about Mike's thoughts about the big tribute show they did at the Hollywood Bowl and how hard of a show that was for him to put on. All thoughts before, during, and after the show. It hits kind of hard. And the third and last track, Watching As I Fall, it closes it all out with Mike talking directly about his feelings over Chester's passing, because when you've been in a band as long as he has, like, what 15, 17, 20 years?
Just about, yeah.
That becomes a very, very, very tight relationship. And knowing your friend, your bandmate, your brother ended up committing suicide because he had some weird stuff going on in his head, that's a lot to take in. Now, I know that Linkin Park has said that they are planning to carry on in the future. I don't know how, but if they feel like they're capable of doing it, then you know, go on ahead. But this EP, it's a quick listen. 3 tracks, 10 minutes. It's worth spinning a couple of times. It's very raw in both production and approach and delivery. It's good stuff. Mm. All right. I was going to talk about some other stuff, like the new COC album and even the Mice and Men's new album, because I heard some good things about that, as well as the sort of surprise At the Drive-In EP that came out of nowhere, but I kind of didn't have time to get to those, so I'll have to get back to that some other time. So I'm gonna close this out with the new Machine Head album, Catharsis.
Oh boy, was that a contentious one.
Oh yeah. This one is smack down the middle. I can see why this would be polarizing, but having listened to it, I can't really call it bad. It's a different kind of Machine Head album with different influences from punk to hardcore, even nu metal. There's even some orchestral tinkering at the start of Heavy Lies the Crown. But it's done in a way that feels very familiar with the Machine Head style, so I can't really be on the side that thinks this is a bad album, because it's not. It has some problems I'll get to, but it's not really bad. I've also heard that this is supposedly the left-wing dystopia, but that's not really true, because that only applies to 3 songs on the album, all of which have different styles. There's Razorblade Smile, which is kind of punk, Volatile, which is more the traditional Bay Area thrash, and Bastards, which is folk? Okay.
Oh, is that what that is?
It's kind of folky. And the lyrics are, they're there. I'll just quote some of the lyrics here, like on Razorblade Smile. And I gotta say, remember, this is supposed to be the punk song. I'm a rock star in the gutter, and I love it down here. I'll take a shit in Mar-a-Lago while I'm drinking a beer. And then it goes to, I'm gonna fuck your borders, barbed wire dick, gorge on bullshit, number one spit. This is an all-black Russian hack, go USA. Trump's in bed with North Korea, and that just might be gay, come on. Okay, okay, Rob, I don't know what you're trying to go with that, but I guess the idea of punk is that it's not about the lyrics, it's about the music and aggression. On Volatile, like I said, it's more of a traditional thrashy style that Machine Head has become known for. And the story goes, this was written as a response to the events that took place in Charlottesville, Virginia. And it kind of rings true with the lines, don't blame the false elites when Nazi assholes march the streets. So call me a hypocrite, call me a fake. It's nothing compared to your pride and your hate. And it just keeps getting even harder in the second verse. Sick of the racists, sick of this shit, sick of them telling me it's immigrants, sick of the phonies on my phone screen, sick of the NRA trying to scare me. Now, I've heard some people have problems with this kind of political approach to these Machine Head songs, but compared to Dystopia, yeah, I'm all for saying fuck you to the NRA and Nazis. I don't know why anybody wouldn't be.
Well, I mean, we both know why anyone wouldn't be, and the answer is people that are actually Nazis. Or yeah. Nazi sympathetic, but really, what's the difference?
Yeah. And then there's the song Bastards, which is supposed to be kind of a folky kind of song. It starts off nice, lyrics, Yesterday I told my son sometimes the bad guys win. That made me scared about the world we live in. But as it goes on, it gets heavier. It starts to get to a kind of Irish jig kind of metal. I don't know how to really describe it. It's one of the most unique approaches to a song I've heard from any band, not just Machine Head. But there is a verse in here that's kind of awkward. Allow me to quote it, and this is a quote from the song. So give us all your faggots, all your niggers, and your spicks. Give us all your Muslims, the so-called terrorists. We'll welcome them with open arms and put them in our mix. We're better off together now. Embrace our difference.
Okay,
Rob Flynn. I like the intent, but the approach is kind of... It needs work.
Yeah, it doesn't strike me as... I don't think you're going to take back those slurs. I mean, it didn't work for Randall in Clerks 2, so...
Well, I'm looking at the Genius page on here, and there's a quote from an interview he did with Metal Hammer. Quote, "I got what I needed to say out, and I wanted to get out what I needed to say in vulgar terms, in coarse terms, and use the language that I was hearing them use against them." So, yeah, you pretty much nailed it on the head. And I do like, at the very end it says, but most importantly, fuck Trump! Which, hey, I'm all for that. I'm all for that, Rob. But, yeah, that's kind of awkward, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thankfully, though, that's as far as the album goes with the whole political slant. Which is kind of a good thing because the rest of the album is actually pretty solid. It's pretty dang solid, and I don't care what anyone says, California Bleeding is a damn great song, and I will fight you on it. Don't at me.
But I wanted to arrange something at the next WrestleMania.
Whatever. Yeah, this is coming from somebody who grew up in California and knows the state upside up and down. That just put a smile on my face. I like that. And I do agree with the last song of the line. Golden State brings home the gold. Oh, yeah. Although they gotta get their shit together after the All-Star break. Come on, guys.
Sports nerds. They're in our metal, too.
Hey, when you're from the Bay Area, you have to endure it. Especially from Oakland, but anyway. Yeah, the rest of the album is solid, but it does suffer from a bit of filler in that this album is 75 minutes long, and it's 15 tracks.
Ew.
It's kind of a long listen. Wow. It does feel a bit bloated. As I said before, I can't ultimately call this a bad album, let alone a freaking 5.5 out of 10 blabbermouth. I would not go that far. Come on. Yeah, sure, this album is different from, say, Unto the Locusts or even The Blackening, sure. But it's different in the sense of it being Machine Head branching out from their comfort zone. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, it could be worse. It could be wub wub like The Path of Totality. Remember that album?
Wub wub.
Oh.
Korn did an album that was produced with EDM Skrillex and dubstep producers, mostly Skrillex.
Oh, that thing I heard about.
It was weird. It had Skrillex and Noisia and Kill the Noise and 12th Planet. It was a weird album. That's branching out way too far, but with Machine Head, they're branching out into different styles, like I said, punk and nu metal and folk and rap and all that kind of stuff, but they're still keeping it within their own style. So on that note, I can call this a pretty good album. Not upper tier like Unto the Locust or The Blackening, but it's still worth giving a couple of listens.
If I ever muster the motivation to do so, I'll be sure to keep that in mind.
Yeah. Just know that Bastards is the gigantic outlier of this album, because, oh man, is it a weird listen.
I'll be sure to also keep that in mind.
Yeah.
That it? That brings that segment to a close?
Yeah, like I said, I didn't have time to listen to all the Earth's Fight plan, so, consider this show warmed up.
Alright, let's move on to our boy Mark over here to give us the non-metal stuff.
All right. The first stuff I gotta get first up, I'm looking at is Johnny Jewel's new album, Digital Rain. You know him from, you know, the Chromax and all that stuff. I know y'all, most of y'all Twin Peaks people seen him on that show on, you know.
Yes, I did. They appeared twice, in fact, if I recall correctly.
All right. So with his new album, Digital Rain, I'm gonna say this is very much. This is what I feel like when I hear a film score. It's like cinematically eerie with this very smooth glossy sound, very ambient, all that shit, with, you know, with no drums, none of that shit. It just feels like music made by rain. And if it sounds like I'm high, it's like, no, it's like it sounds very glossy, very in fact quite beautiful, to be honest.
Really?
Like the opening track, which we heard before, Digital Rain, is a very solid opener for the album, and I really took the hell out of the sound done by here. We'll say for the album, like the album was like it's like 16 tracks. We don't know 19 tracks.
Whoa!
It's kind of weird that the first and the last song, the last song being called Houston, both of them is like 5 minutes long, while in between them, the songs are from a minute to three. It's like you got two very long songs with the very short ass songs just between them two, you know, start and end. I thought that's kind of weird in setting, but. I see what I can do. I will say it's more. Do got a few tracks that I kind of dug with Double Exposure, number four, and maybe What If. Some tracks are quite short, like some last like a minute or something, like. Tracks like Black Pyramid or Monsoon most of the tracks in here anyway. But I do admit it's a beautiful sound that I don't listen to when it's raining outside, which right as of right now it's been fucking raining here all week. I had to drive to work in that shit. I fucking hate it. But anyway, that's getting off topic. This album is not. I like what I hear from Mr. Johnny Jewel. I consider what again this album, considering the fact that I can get it on their record label, Italians Do It Better. And yes, that's the actual label, Italians Do It Better.
I'm doing the hand thing right now.
I can represent all of us and say yes, we do it better.
All right. This some good shit I'm getting from this. And now, for the second album that I checked out this month, well, January, a surprise album that just dropped from Venetian Snares. Oh, you remember them? Venetian Snares? The one we just do for that those film single they did a couple months back?
Give us the album title, yeah. Mark.
Oh, boy. They got the new album called She Began to Cry Tears of Blood, which became Little Brick Houses When They Hit the Ground.
Excellent. In fact, I deliberately left it out of that initial, like, roll call, because I wanted to hear you say that whole thing. Leave some suspense.
Damn. Like, yes, their titles are long as fuck. Even the track listings are long. Even the song titles are long as fuck. They're like full-on sentences you can write as an assignment at your school or something. But yeah, anyway, on this album, So, like Jewel, this is very cinematic in this in the sound, but unlike Jewel, where Jewel was ambient, this is definitely wonky and noise as fuck. Like, this is definitely some tense ass music. Or what you get from you know, hearing like from the first track, you get all these weird sounds like bumps, all these weird electronic not squeals but more like binks and all binks and bumps, and yeah, this is very one head scratching experience that I quite interested in. But like I said, that title, the track, even the song titles are weird as fuck. Like, I'm looking at one title called "Eric and Kitty Both Die Within a Month of Each Other, Red Stairs at the Coffee Table."
How romantic.
Then about something. Oh, that's from that. Oh, that 70s. Damn, I recognize. Oh, now I recognize that 70s show. Oh, damn, that's fucking eerie as shit.
Wait, seriously?
Or Eric and Kitty Both Die Within a Month of Each Other.
Oh.
Eric and Kitty.
Damn.
Red as in red. Yeah, you get that.
Shit.
Which is like, yeah, I have a father like, holy fuck, that is. But yeah, the whole time I'm listening to this, I wouldn't say Blade Runner-ish, but more of a very chaotic type of sound, which is kind of sound from them. And if I'm it, I do start the like first time listening to it's like, okay, it do get kind of repetitive at first, because I'm thinking, was it this track I heard or was it that track? Like, at least, like, I keep on going through the going through tracks over and over again to see what sounds different. Although, like, there are some tracks that sound, but most of the time I feel like, like, it leaves me little when for going back to it. I mean, I still think it's a good experience, but it's okay. I maybe. This is my first time listening to them. I mean, I know they release other music. Check out that shit. Well, we got time for that.
Hopefully, but they have even longer and more extravagant titles.
Oh boy!
Let's write a novel using every single Venetian Snares album and song title.
So basically, they're doing the light novel shit. Only this is more weirder in a sense of head scratching, but not in the sense of, well, vomiting or rage or whatever. But Venetia Snares, she began to cry tears of blood, which became little brick houses when they hit the ground. Solid. And now for another album that I pretty much listened to, but hadn't said anything to y'all yet. This is an album from somebody. This is somebody from Top Dog Entertainment. Another Top Dog artist that I might check out. His name is Sir.
Sir what?
Yes, that's it. Just Sir.
Sir what? As in,
that's his fucking name. It's just Sir.
Sir what?
I'm a kid.
Oh. Well, look, you already broke the door down. You might as well finish the job.
Sir, I don't know. Sir, damn, I lost a joke. Sir, he's been affiliated. He's a artist from Top Dog Entertainment. Homeboy Boy Kendrick and Schoolboy, and he released an album out. I'm on called November, which is weird. I'm called November in January, all right? And I got my say. But I say, it's some, it's some, It's some very neo soul vibey type of shit that I can get with. I will say the first few times, first time I thought, it was okay. Then second time I was like, oh, okay, I can see where it's going through. I mean, there was one song called Something Foreign, which features Schoolboy, and I thought, okay, this is very, you know, like it's vibing shit I can get with, like, I dig the vibing R&B type of shit, and I will say with Sir, he's kind of all right. I mean, I kind of prefer SZA more to him, since, you know, they're both R&B artists on top of entertainment. But I will say, it's an okay record. That's all I gotta say for that. And now, the last one I got to cover is, in fact, Cupcake with her album, Euphorize.
Yeah, Euphorize.
Euphorize.
A name that I'm very familiar with. A bunch of people that, like, at the station are, like, big fans of her, and we even have, like, a drop, like, that's kind of, like, looped into the system that, like, plays over the radio and shit from her. She rolling with the LGBT.
Oh, and that's definitely proof of that, because one of her songs, Crayons, is definitely proof of that. Considering the manpower she spent in there, for example, man got a man, that's what's up, love is love, who give a fuck, girl, they're like, yup, but it's like, man on man, they're like, yup, motherfuckers, be going with that shit, bitch, we ain't playing like, ain't no skits. Like, she definitely spent some mad balls on this. Like, I know people know her for her sex jams, but I could say this album is very, very explicit as fuck. It's just like, if you're young, if you got kids, then yeah, you probably shouldn't get this to them, if you're not into that whole bullshit. But I'm gonna say this is very vulgar, and it is good. It is great. I'm liking this. I will say one of my favorite songs in here is Cartoons, which I'm looking at the lyrics, like, this is something. This song has definitely got some bars, like, after carrots like Bugs Bunny, a Batman Robin for the money, stripper bare feet like the Flintstones, make a Tom and Jerry whole way home, I'm a sack, so I check Scooby Doo's, give him Smurf dick, that's balls blue, I don't look for niggas, so fuck Waldo, bitch, click like Johnny Bravo. Like, goddamn, she delivered some bars. I'm liking what she got in here, and even on the next song, Duck Duck Goose, I'm trying to get the lyrics right here. There's one line I know you might this that submarine pussy, that Mr. Clean pussy, this that I'm about to fuck you longer than limousine pussy, high self-esteem pussy, it's a dream pussy, if you broke, please have to find like a mean pussy.
She uses the word pussy a lot, I take it.
okay, like I said, it's some vulgar shit, but I know what you're thinking. She does a lot of sex stuff, but no, it's not just not just some gimmick. Like, she does, you know, own herself as that, and that's fine. She also as this, but yeah, there's more to that than just, you know, there's that, like, she does own herself about, you know, about how she about. About how she is a perk, like, you know, on herself, about, you know, herself, how she is, like, you know, like, being vulnerable about herself, as in the stuff rappers doing a lot more than we usually notice, like, or at least that we now pay attention to, which I like about that. And I also talk about some even like stuff like double standards of sexual politics, like, you know, how with those things, like, you know, a woman fuck a lot of guys, she might be a hoe, nigga fuck a lot of girls, he might be a player, all that shit. She does something along that shit very well. And I will say with that, the beats are banging on this. Like, Her producers, Death Stars and I can't say his fucking name, but yeah, those people, they definitely delivered the hard hitting bangers on this.
Damn.
And yeah, and I gotta say, she is definitely an artist that, you know, she's very raunchy, but she can do some serious shit. Like she can spell some serious topics. And I gotta think, that's what make her a very artist that comes with interest in. She wrote all her shit. You know, it's a good and listen with, you know, 15 tracks, 46 minutes. That's a good listen for that. Like, yeah, this is definitely an album that people should check out. It's a damn good album. Like, she even self-released on her own. She self-released. So you can help her out with that shit. If you got money for it, you can play it on Spotify as well, you know, give it some support. But yeah, album's good.
And that brings the end to Mark, so now we gotta toss it over to me so I can get through my highlights before we all get to the salt. So, starting from the top, and first I want to say, God damn it, Mark Zuckerberg, you and your sponsorships and your algorithms. I say that in reference to the new album from Portal, Ion, because quite literally for the past, 3 months, I've been seeing just, the promotional ad for it sponsored in my feed courtesy of Profound Lore. Not that that's necessarily a bad thing. Profound Lore has some of the finest, up-and-coming metal bands. Like, I think Paul Bearer is signed to that label. Or is that Southern Lord? And hell, Full of Hell's Trumpeting Ecstasy is my favorite record of the year. There, you know, Profound Lore as well. But, goddamn, if this was showing up on my feed constantly, they must have been expecting this to be, their first big, super hype shit out of the gates. Now, it should be told, I'm not familiar with any of their work before this. Apparently, this is their fifth album, and their last record came out 2013. So, I don't really know, where this fits in the big scheme of their career. But I can tell you, first couple listens, the main impression I got was, this was a mashup of, the music of Crowless with kind of elements of, old-school Morbid Angel, first four albums, period. When you listen to the riffs and rhythms, there's a very frenetic quality to the construction. The riffs and the leads are fucking, atonal and tremolo picked out the goddamn ass. But there isn't really, a clear melody to any of those. As I said, very atonal. And the rhythms kind of seem like they're switching up on the fly. Sometimes it has a very, mostly it has a very raw quality. Almost kind of like they didn't rehearse to, a click or anything. And they just kind of happened to fall in line with each other with a weird way. It works pretty well. Especially when you're listening to all, the fast, rapid blast beats of the drums. Which, sometimes they sound like they use the cymbals. But half the time, it sounds like it's not even that. The sticking patterns alternating between, the toms and the snare and everything. It just kind of creates this really oppressive atmosphere that, while I'll admit I'm not a fan of the Crowless style, I think Portal in particular makes it work. And that's very specifically because of the vocal performances here. The style on this album, and I'm guessing from this band, I can only really describe it as, hot sauce vocals. You know when you eat, a really hot sauce, or, a habanero pepper or something, and your immediate reaction is just, that deep breathing voice, because you're trying to, exhale the heat out of your mouth as fast as possible. Imagine trying to do, deep guttural growls while having, that breathy quality to it. That's how I can describe the vocals here. It has a very kind of monstrous presence. If I witnessed a super giant, Lovecraftian creature, and it was trying to talk to me, this would be, the voice I would imagine, going through it. I think it works better than the Crowless style because there's more of an oomph to it. It has more presence instead of kind of, that wispy, shrieky black metal style. And, you know, a lot of that time, that breathy quality works pretty damn well mixed in with, like, a lot of the walls of noise, like on the tracks like Revolt of Volts, or even another one of my favorites, Spores, which kind of has, like, almost a industrial noise quality to it with a lot of, like, the vocals blending in with, like, this kind of staticky effect in the background. It's, like, it's a really good but very extreme kind of metal album. Like, this is one of those things that's definitely not for the faint of heart, so tread lightly, as Walter White would put it. Moving on to the second big album I have here, Tune Yards, I Can Feel You Creep Into My Private Life. So, as I think I may have mentioned, in the sort of automatic playlist that, like, my radio station has, there is a drop in there from the main creative force behind the project, Meryl Garbus, and I actually did finally go through her albums. Her evolution is kind of interesting. Like, her first two records are these really experimental lo-fi art rock pieces. Her third record kind of moves things up a bit in terms of composition and clarity of production. This album here, it goes more into, like, an experimental art pop, you know, kind of electro pop sort of thing. Like, you hear it as soon as you get it on the opening track, Heart Attack, which plays around with these kind of bubbly dance synths mixed in with, like, you know, these somber piano keys. And then you get this really, like, fun, charismatic performance from Meryl. And I think it's kind of interesting because, like, and I know, hear me out for a minute. I don't want this to come across as, you know, questionable. It's like, she's not black, but she has a voice that and charisma that's very reminiscent of, like, a black soul, like, R&B kind of singer. Like, more, like, old-school, very boisterous, kind of charismatic R&B kind of thing. Like, especially when you hear her deliver, like, you're giving me a ha, tack, 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 don't. I blanked on the lyric there, but, like, you can hear her, like, weird vocal deliveries on that. Especially on songs like ABC 123. And, let me see what else here, Now Is Then, or, yeah, Colonizer especially, like, her, it's really attention-getting, and her performances are really, like, they're just, like, fun to listen to. Like, she goddamn puts a lot of passion into every line she sings, which is kind of important here, because, like, as sort of is the norm for some of her lyrical topics, this one kind of tops on a lot of, like, you know, like, issues of, like, racism, sexism, basically, social justice, all that, kind of stuff. Which probably explains why the Rate Your Music crowd is rating this album so lowly, even though it's actually pretty damn good. In particular, one of the more interesting ones is the song Now Is Then, where the verses, they kind of have, like, this sort of almost freeformish spoken word vibe to them, even though there is a bit of a melody. And the song kind of touches on this idea of, like, the good white person when it comes to, like, confronting racism, i.e., you know, that, like, that one guy who thinks he's helping, but really they care about more about, like, their profile instead of doing something meaningful, like, just kind of an ally in name only. Basically, the kind of I would have voted for Obama a third time stereotype that Get Out was made to mock. And, of course, you also, like, get this on the song Colonizer, where the main, you know, chorus line is, I use my white woman voice to tell stories of travels with African men. And lines like, I comb my white woman's hair with a comb made especially, generally, for me. Which is kind of an interesting way of commenting on, like, the ways that society sees white as the default. You know, when something as seemingly subtle as the fact that there aren't enough combs or brushes that are very specifically designed to tackle the unique textural characteristics of, like, a black woman's hair. And I think it's kind of interesting she says white woman voice when very clearly, as I said, her voice does kind of come across as, like, black in a way. Like, it's almost the Macklemore effect all over again, except she's not annoying as hell. Yeah, and, you know, especially bounced with this kind of dancier, one of the dancier beats on record with some cleverly used glitch electronic parts. And, you know, just all stuff like that makes this a really, like, good listen. Like, I was pleasantly surprised. Like, goddamn, I may have to, like, consider this if, you know, much later on down the road when we get to albums of the year and whatnot. But moving on to my last big record here. And this is definitely, like, guaranteed in slot in album of the year, Orphaned Land, Unsung Prophets, and Dead Messiahs. Returning after, you know, 5 years from their 2003 record All Is One, which was my jumping on point here, once again, these Israeli prog metalers hit, like, this great, like, home run with one of the most engrossing, gorgeous, heavy, basically everything prog metal efforts of recent memory. It's like every possible great thing you could want out of good progressive metal is here. And I think it's fair to start off with, like, the compositions. Of course, there's a very foreign ethnic quality with the prominent string sections, the sitars, and of course, like, the synthy organs and stuff that makes it sound all very majestically, almost kind of like Lawrence of Arabia type shit here. And the fact that it's all held together really well is a testament to, like, the great songwriting. I think what really helps here in sort of uniting, you know, the ethnic elements, you know, the traditional metal stuff, the clean, the melodic, the heavy stuff, is Kobe Farhi, the main vocalist on the project. He's got the pretty much the ideal sort of prog metal voice. Like, when he sings, he's got, like, great range and personality. He doesn't just stick to, like, mid-range that kind of sounds like, no, he moves up and down. He's got, like, great control of tone and knows how to project a fantastic, gorgeous melody. And then when he needs to go heavy, he goes heavy. Like, the kind of snarling growls, like, you hear on some of the heavier songs here, like In Propaganda or Only the Dead Have Seen the End of War, they almost kind of have, like, this very old school Mikhail Akerfeldt Opeth kind of quality to it. And that, you know, filled the void in my heart that was left by the last three Opeth albums, something I desperately needed. And in terms of also another compositional strength, again, those string sections, you know, when you have the guitars, the sitar, and the violin, how well they all complement each other, like, through the performances, because you have the guitars providing a strong sort of low end and that great, you know, traditionally metal quality to it, especially on, like, Left Behind, where it's almost very, like, vast sounding, but the guitars help really ground everything with that heavy chugging quality to it. You have those, you know, strings, that violin section, which provides the big soaring melody that makes everything sound vast and sweeping and, you know, all epic and stuff. And then you have the sitar for that little, just that nice extra touch that helps accentuate the key melody that lies underneath. And just, you get that experience from track to track. And, you know, this album is, like, again, it's another long one. This is, like, an hour and 6 minutes, but no second of it ever really feels wasted. Just from top to bottom, this is a goddamn beautiful experience. And, you know, should be told, I'm honestly kind of surprised that Alex, like, didn't bring it up. Because when I listened to this, I was like, you know, I'm pretty sure Alex is bringing it up. Because everything about this seems like the kind of shit that he would love, knowing his prog taste.
I didn't have time.
Understandable.
I'll get to it later.
Later. You should. I guarantee you're going to like this. Like, I know my boy. But, yeah, this is just, you know, it's so great when you can have, like, an album that has this much effort put into every aspect of its production, the fantastic songwriting, the on-point instrumentation, you know, just everything harmoniously comes together into a beautiful 5 out of 5 package. And I'm just gonna get one last quick one out of the way. Yeah, I listened to the new Of Mice and Men record. It's okay. Honestly, nothing this band has done really stuck with me since their second album, but it's okay. The singer that they have now, I think of the one of the guitarists, he does okay in the filling the spot of Austin Carlisle, but obviously nothing, they got nothing on Austin Carlisle though. And if I can recommend one song here, I would say the track Instincts, which is the second track on the record. That one is, at the very least, I have no qualms saying, a pretty, like, banger, kind of pretty thrashing, you know, metalcore tune. Now it's time.
Oh boy. Oh boy, it's time.
Yes,
it's time.
You know, at least last year we managed to make it until February before having a worst album of the year contender with Suicide Silence. We didn't even make it to January. We only made it like 20 days into January before this happened. What are we talking about? Well, Fall Out Boy and their newest record, Mania.
God.
Oh, damn it.
Now, I need you to... I'm going to stick a pin in this, because I want you to keep this in mind. They said, like, back when the album was nearing its original September release date, that they had pushed it back to January because they didn't want to release something that they could not be proud of, that this is apparently the version of the album that had more time to sit and cook in the oven and then come out, and it was something that they could all be proud of. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, this is something that probably it was bad before it went into the oven, and it was even worse when it came back out. Holy shit. What the fuck even? Like, yeah. Okay, I know I'm going to get shit because, like, oh, you just don't like change. It's like, no, dumbass. Like, change has to be good.
Mm-hmm.
I know this from many bands that have, like, changed sounds, like, multiple times over time. Like, Devin Townsend, for example, he is an entity that has been ever-changing across his career, almost to the point of, like, being the Final Fantasy of musicians. But every project, every entity has taken, has been at least good enough to merit a listen and, you know, just, you know, bring some new thing to the table. But this, like, their old records are fine, they still hold up, but their last couple of records, it just kind of felt like they've been jogging in place. Like, the Maroon 5 effect, mm-hmm. where it's just kind of like the actual rock element has just been pushed further and further to the background until this is basically just like a Patrick Stump solo thing. Oh, and the other guys are just hanging around in the background unless he breaks a hamstring or something.
We talked about this last year, this whole bands changing their sound kind of thing. We talked about it with Suicide Silence and Linkin Park. And that just went nowhere because, surprise, those albums were not good. If I were to bring in some wrestling jargon, Suicide Silence's album was, I would say, at worst, -3 stars. Linkin Park, -4. Fall Out Boy, this is a 36-minute perfect bad -5-star album.
And you want to know how we can tell that? Right off the bat, it opens with Young and Menace. Remember that, kids? I could grab the clip, the infamous Alex freakout of, this sounds like a goddamn Weekend ripoff song! And you know what? It still sounds like the exact same song that we heard way back before September.
There's something I didn't know before. Why is there an interpolation of Oops, I Did It Again on here?
Fuck, is there? Because I heard this album twice, and I don't know, maybe it was because I was too busy being angry, but I never heard that. Like, holy shit, really?
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah, so it's still the same song. You have those, like, brief, those moody, like, piano verses that build and swell into what is still the most annoying goddamn chorus I've heard probably in the past 6 months. Like, even Gucci Gang got nothing on this. I am serious. I would rather hear that over... It's fucking bullshit. Like, it's almost like you're hearing the sound of the actual final recording just being thrown at a literal wall, and they're just recording that.
This is crappy EDM 101.
There are no real instruments on it. Nothing. It's all samples and programmed drums.
Yeah, it's like, but the thing is, there's a really weird tone to the drums themselves, where it sounds like he actually did play something, but they were like, okay, we're gonna fucking, like, just layer samples on it, just to fuck with Andy. It's like, and, of course, there's the, you have, like, bullshit lyrics, like, I think God is gonna have to kill me twice, like my name was Nikki Six. Boy, you guys wish you were Motley Crue. That would imply that you've had enough sex to get STDs.
How about this lyric? I'm about to go turn Harding on the whole world's knee. You mean, did it make us feel pain losing this shit? Because that's what you did.
Fucking, let's move on to that. Stay Frosty Royal Milk Tea, which is, again, another fucking...
Wait, hold on. You're skipping one song, Champion.
Well, it's a song worth skipping. It's like, that song is as empty as... it's a version of Centuries that has nothing going for it.
Let me say my piece.
It's like, it's super fucking structurally repetitive as shit. The lyrics are the most dirt simple basic that I think Fall Out Boy has ever written. It's a hollow nothing of a song.
Rob, you made me listen to this. Let me say my piece. I have notes here. I did a whole thread on this album, okay?
Fine.
Yeah, Champions. It sounds like it was meant to be like a WWE theme song, so don't do that. And I have to, and this was my note, verbatim. Why does it sound like a hybrid of Drake and Lil Uzi Vert on Downers on the opening verse?
I also heard a song was called Marcia, of all people.
Why are you doing this to me? Like, this must be how Paul Dugan feels. Fucking Christ. Also, I still want to know what Post Malone is doing in the in the fucking video.
Okay, continue.
Oh, that's the song where he was on the video. Okay.
Yeah, we covered that. And yeah, going back to Stay Frosty Royal Milk Tea. God damn, these fucking goddamn song titles. Shit. So that main just it sounds like if the Devilman Crybaby soundtrack was shit. And, you know, you kind of have, like, the vaguely super elegant chorus guitar leads in there. And, yes, Tanya Harding on the whole world's knee. Which, I don't get that as a metaphor. Correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't her crime that she tampered with the evidence, you know, in the investigation of the fact that her ex-husband hired someone to break Nancy Kerrigan's knee? It's like, okay, I've heard Tanya Harding is apparently a bitch, and that this is something, like... I guess softened in various accounts, like that movie I, Tanya that came out a couple months ago. But it's like, dude, get your references as straight as possible. Like, it's like, it sounds like, oh, you're gonna hire someone to break the world's knee instead of doing it yourself. Like, come on. But that's not the worst line.
There is something before the worst line, because we have lazy writing at hand with, right after the whole Tanya Harding stuff, and I'm a stark night vision, so stark night vision, but I come to life, Bad! Bad.
Repetition is a bitch, ain't it?
Are you smelling this shit?
Oh, yes. Are you smelling that shit?
Are you smelling that shit?
Do you know your enemy? Do you know your enemy? Yeah, fuck you, Pete Wentz and Patrick Stump, for giving me Green Day flashbacks. Oh, but that's not the best part of that line. I saw Alex's tweet thread on that song, and I don't know where he was getting the lyrics from, but they actually got that line wrong. The version he tweeted out said Ultra Resistance. The actual line is so much better. The cap off to that punchline is O de Resistance. As okay, in... Eau de toilette. Like, okay. Get it? It's a bad perfume joke. Although, okay. I suppose okay. It's toilet. It's appropriate since this lyric belongs in a fucking toilet.
Okay, clearly somebody at Apple did not care enough to actually correct the line, because that's what I got from Apple Music. It doesn't really matter. It's just this freaking Fall Out Boy album. It doesn't matter one bit. Leave the typos in.
I can't say I blame him. This song is just fucking annoying music that and just weird lyrical metaphors that make no goddamn sense. And of course, the musical annoyances don't stop there. That right after this, hold me tight or don't, in all caps, because reasons.
What a friggin' poet.
This shit sounds like a bad, like, cover of something that would be like on Drake's More Life playlist. Like, imagine UB40 covering Drake's More Life. You have that obnoxious shuffling rhythm with all that vocals and the whistling, the reggae guitars and steel pans. Fucking, like, it's like, again, watered down dance hall shit. Usual, like,
so dance hall.
Yeah, that. Of bad lyrics about, like, being maddeningly in love with a woman. Like, when your stitch comes loose, I want to sleep on every piece of fuzz and stuffing that comes out of you.
Ugh. Yeah. The hell?
This has unfitting whistling, na-na-nas, and a melody that rips off Shape of You. It's just... Guys! Guys! At least Linkin Park tried to rip off the Chainsmokers. Why are you trying to rip off Ed Sheeran?
Well, I mean, it clearly...
I don't know what's worse.
Yeah, it's like, talk about rock in a hard place, but, you know, I think they're hoping they'll get that Grammy nomination, but, fat chance.
The fuck you will.
Of course, and speaking of other cringy lyrics, Wilson Expensive Mistakes, where fucking I'll stop wearing black when they make a darker color. Like, dude, don't disrespect my girl Wednesday Addams like that. You already fucked up referencing the Munsters. Why you gotta pull this shit? Don't forget, there's trap drums on this thing.
Oh boy.
No. No.
God damn this shit. So yeah, Wilson and what the fuck was the other song with the trap shit?
There was like three of them with the trap beats.
Yeah, I want to say was it Sunshine Riptide? Because I know that was the one that was, again, like another bad dancehall track with like that fucking, what was that dude's name? That did like the
Burna Boy?
Yeah, that jackass. Like, dude, God. Like, that's, his performance on this is the textbook definition of, I'm just collecting a check here.
Give me money.
Yeah. And of course, another song where the drums sound processed as fuck. And again, everything just sounds like bad UB40. Speaking of bad lyrics, again, sorry, I just keep coming to this. It's like, the lyrics here are probably the worst on a Fall Out Boy record yet, because they veer back and forth between either embarrassingly simplistic or just plain, like, nowhere near as creative as they think they are. Like, Church, where the chorus is, where there's lyrics like, if you were church, I would get on my knees. Okay,
God.
So I would just avoid you.
Yes. Damn, girl, are you church? Because I haven't been inside you since I was 15. Wow, that's a bad joke. You see what this album is reducing me to? Making really bad comparisons that, like, are even clunkier than the lyrics on this shit. And that's a task.
Even worse, that song you're mentioning, the church song, it has that beat that's used in, I swear to God, every single SoundCloud mixtape.
That's trap, man. That's the trap, boy.
Jesus Christ. I know it's easy to make a trap beat. Hell, I could make it in Logic Pro, but come on, guys. You have a real drummer. He's just sitting there in the back, friggin' twiddling his thumbs on his phone, doing nothing.
Guys, can I drum? Can I? No, I can't. Okay, you can use the machine. Okay, I'm just on my phone.
I could just imagine him bored. He's like that kid at the Super Bowl. He's just flicking through his phone. He's texting, like, fucking Keith Buckley and the two of the guys from Anthrax. Like, guys, when are we going to do a new Damned Things record? Because I got to tell you, I'm not getting shit to do here, and I'm fucking bored. Yeah, just this entire fucking thing. It's like, okay, sure, Save Rock and Roll and American Beauty, American Psycho might have gotten good reviews and good commercial sales, but at this point, it sounds like even by that meager standard, air quotes, there's just nothing here anymore, man. It sounds like this is the textbook example of a forced reunion. It's like, it's kind of like the opposite of when System of a Down broke up. Very clearly, that was a mistake because their solo projects were... Hey, I see you in the comments. Shut up. Scars on Broadway and Surge's solo stuff doesn't hold up anywhere near as well as the high school you obsessed with rock band think they did. Trust me on this. where they, like, clearly needed each other for the chemistry. But at this point, it's like, I'm not sure they really need each other. They sound like they don't want to be together at this point, except out of, like, obligation or something. Like, they could probably all be doing other stuff. Like we said, Andy Hurley, he's got, like, the most promising career, probably doing, like, you know, other hard rock and metal bands, along with, like, Joe Troman, I think. Okay, Patrick Stump could probably get away with doing, like, a more solo material. I think he's had a solo album out before. And I guess Pete Wentz could find something to do. I don't know. Maybe he can, like, co-host Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives or something.
Oh, God. This album takes 8 songs for there to be real drums to show up. 8 out of 10!
Yeah, Heaven's Gate, that's technically the least annoying song on here. The least bad, solely because of the lack of processed bullshit. But, god fucking shit, it's like, I'm not even sure I have a succinct way of summing all this up. I'm just tired. I'm mad and I'm tired at this point. I want to get off the ride. Go away. Just go. Get out of here, you mutts.
I don't know. All I gotta say is this. I don't know why I listened to this album. I don't know why I did this. I actually do know why. I blame you, Robert.
Yeah, so do I.
Because I will not suffer alone in this.
I have a few more notes I want to point out as we wrap this up. Why the fuck does Sunshine Riptide sound like it was meant to have a little Uzi Vert feature? And why do the lyrics sound like they were inspired by EXO Tour Life? Like, I don't even have my own attention. You say, please don't ever change, but you don't like me the way I am. The sign says, don't you tap with glass, but I read it in reverse. Like, what the fuck is this?
Oh, yeah, when he did that really bad, bullshit. Like, fucking Missy Elliott shit.
Oh, boy.
Like, where he, like, rammed down, flip it, and reversed it.
Oh,
except
God.
She makes it sound cool. You're nowhere near on her level, boy.
Pretty much. And also, I noticed one thing about this record. You mentioned how Still Giving It sound like a Weekend track. I'm looking up the last of the real ones. One of the producers, Il Angelo.
Mm-hmm.
Frequently works for the Weekend.
Uh-huh.
Ah, that explains it.
This fucking album is just 36 minutes of wasted time. It's lazily written, shoddily put together. The production is as stock as they come. It's just filled with so much sampling and programming and drum machines and side chains. And it's just 36 minutes of wasted time. Time that could be spent listening to literally anything else.
Any of the albums we brought up previously would be a better time investment. Like, in pretty the time much. It takes to listen to this album twice, you could listen to Catharsis. I hear that album is 74 minutes long.
75.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm just going to say this point blank. This album is boring.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to this twice, and I'm like, I don't want to listen to it anymore. I don't remember most of the tracks because I'm like, this is giving me nothing. I don't want to listen to any more of this. I could listen to something else. I could be... Hell, coming to February, I have to make sure I remember this shit, but I couldn't. I feel like, man, I could listen to Rich Brian's album right now, but I can't. Or I need to get this in my head first.
Yeah, it's like...
Damn.
Again, at least Suicide Silence waited until February. What does that say about the possible crap that's going to come in the next 11 months?
Well...
Oh, God.
Wait, the one that came out recently that we have to wait till next month to discuss?
I already know what you're going to say. Like, the way you said it like that, I like... But...
Believe me, I'm a man of my word.
You're certainly a man of something, all right. But I suppose let's round up in conclusion. As Alex said, -5 stars.
-5 stars. Absolutely.
And If I may invoke the words of the greatest man who ever lived, Mr. Corey Coleman.
Oh, yeah.
This is some old bullshit.
Oh, yep.
Oh, no, wait, I forgot. They have that other rating. Fuck you.
Yep, fuck, yep. This is a fuck you, a big fuck you. Also, I didn't know you were a Spill slash Double Toasted, or maybe a Spill Double. I didn't know you were a fan.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. Like, that was my shit in middle school. Like, that was goddamn, like, important for me.
Oh, yeah, that's what got me into doing this reviewing shit, to be honest.
Yeah. But, you know, that brings us to the end here. We, you know, we have fun, you know, talking about the albums we do like, but sometimes it's fun to just bitch and roast.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And yeah, that was pretty fun. We might have to do it again soon.
I'm not listening to Culture 2. You can't make me.
No one wants to do that. No one wants to do that.
Or Ray Shremmered.
It won't be Ray Shremmered. But, anyway, now we just have to sign out and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can we find you on the internet?
Or of Hazure, wherever there is a connection to be found on the internet.
Mark, what about you?
My Hyper Media on that bird site. And also my site, the Mind Hyper One, at thehyperone.wordpress.com.
As for me, you can find me on Twitter at Rob Barracuda. Also Instagram as well. Email me, robert@surrealresolution.com. Sorry about that. Subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. You know, be sure to follow the site on all its various platforms. You know, Surreal Reso on Twitter, like us on Facebook, follow us on YouTube, all that good shit. I already did the big, like, rundown shit in, like, the main week episode, so I'm not repeating all that here. But, of course, I will say, as always, thank you to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Oh, and, of course, be sure to check out the playlist where we put in songs from the albums we recommend on this thing. There'll be no Fallout Boy, though.
Thank God.
You can find that on your own. So, thank you for listening. We'll be back with the next main week episode and, of course, the February roundup, you know, sometime early March. And so, until next time, seriously, just go away, Fallout Boy.
Please break up.
Fade.